Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, man. How everything been going for you?
Everything's good, man. I can't complain, you know, just fatherhood and just locking into that and just enjoying it, man. How about
That's
you?
what's up, man. That's what's up, man. Everything's going good, man. Like I said, my co-host couldn't join us. He's in Texas celebrating our homegirl graduating college and everything like that.
Okay.
Congratulations again, Bree. And
Yeah, congrats,
you
Bree.
know, so like I said, I couldn't make it, unfortunately. So I said, well, I'll take care of this part, you know, and do what I can, you know. So for those of you that don't know, this is 9-year NFL vet, all with the number one brand in sports, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, sir.
Tyrone Crawford, man, former D lineman.
Yes, sir. I
You
appreciate you
know,
having me on, man.
welcome to the show, man. Thank you for making the time, man, and fitting us in your schedule.
Absolutely, man. The thing is the kids, you know, so I
For
just
sure,
got
man.
done, you know, getting them all ready to head over to their cousins. So, you know, it was perfect timing, man. I appreciate you having me on.
For sure, man. For sure, man. So, among some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about today, man, was for one, just tell me how it was being a part of not only the NFL, but the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, you know, like obviously, you know that it's the biggest brand in sports, the best brand in sports, you know, top of the line. Jerry did his thing when it comes to the Cowboys. You know, obviously we have more haters than, you know, most teams have fans, right? It's
Right.
kind of just like, I don't know whose side you're on this Drake and Kendrick thing, but Drake has more haters than Kendrick has fans.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's like LeBron. LeBron has to deal with the same kind of thing. More haters than, you know, some players have fans. So
Right, right.
that you have to deal with the Cowboys. But that means, you know, obviously that, you know, Jerry and the family has done an amazing job with the star and, you know, what it represents. And, so for that part, being part of the biggest was dope. I mean, you can't really, that's where everybody wants to be, even if they don't say it, that everybody wants to be with the Cowboys. So that part was dope alone. And then the NFL, man, you know, just, you know, the rarity of it, and just the fact that, you know, it was something that, you know, I thought about at times when I was a kid, and the dream got, you know, more and more as I was growing up. I mean, that part, man, that's something that, you know, I have to continuously remind myself about, you know, just when I think about it, remind myself like, hey, man, like you did do that, you know, you went to the league, you know, that's something huge.
Yeah,
So
man.
always, you know, even for the young players that are getting in now or the old players that have played, man, pat yourself on the back because it's a huge accomplishment. And sometimes it takes taking a step back to actually, you know, realize that.
Yeah, for sure, man. So just to rattle off a few of your stats, man. 9 years, 112 games played, 79 starts, 194 tackles, 25 sacks, 65 quarterback hits. 33 tackles for a loss, and I could go on and on. And you know, talking about the Dallas Cowboys and stats and being in the NFL, and with you bringing up your childhood, at what point was it always your dream to go to the league? Because I read that you are also a three-sport athlete in high school.
Yeah, you know, like as you know, like when you're growing up, everybody got hoop dreams, you know, and
Yeah, for sure.
we were watching some of the ballers that we had growing
Yeah.
up, to be able to watch the Kobes and stuff of the world. You know, we all had hoop dreams. My favorite player ever still, I think, big shout out to LeBron. I think he's the best ever. But Shaq, to me, is the number one of all time. You know, so I was a big man in high school, so I had them hoop dreams. But, you know, obviously you kind of go with what works, you know, go with what you feel you're best at, you know, and going into, you know, grade 12. And that's something that, you know, was hard for me. But yeah, football just kind of just, I just fell in love with it. You know, when you start to realize that, you know, when you go out and hit, it's not as bad as you think. It turns into your favorite sport pretty quick. You know, definitely us being men and thinking we're warriors and gladiators, which we pretty much are, modern day gladiators. So,
Yeah, for sure.
you know, the dream, you know, started to grow when I felt like I can, when I started having those glimpses of like success throughout junior college and throughout college. And you know, people kind of chitter-chatting about it might be a possibility. You know, I'm from Canada. I didn't think it was going to be a possibility at all. I thought that, you know, the route that I was going was CFL, which I was super pumped about too. That was a dream of mine to make the CFL.
Yeah.
But then just happened to, you know, fall into the NFL draft, and yeah, third round of the Cowboys. So, I mean, it's been a blessing ever since. I mean, it's always been blessed, but I mean, that was a big part. That's a big part of my life. And it was definitely a huge blessing.
For sure, man. So like you said, third round, 81st pick in the 2012 draft. Like you said, junior college, you know, you out there, you making plays, you working hard, and people start chit-chattering and talking and saying, oh, it's a possibility that you could go at some point in the draft. What point did you for yourself realize, like, bro, I'm actually like that, and I can really, really do this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, coming from Canada, you know, like, that was the – I'm happy I made it in steps like that. Like, you know, high school in Canada, and then I went to junior college. Like, if I went straight D1, I might have had a different story. But, you know, going to JUCO, I took that, you know, that first step, you know, in football. You know, I was like, hey, like, this is where you see. Like, if you can ball with them American boys, then you can ball. You know what I'm saying? So, and JUCO was my true test. And, you know, I did my thing at JUCO. We had some good success as a team. And also, like, I had great coaches. And, yeah, I kind of made a transition from tight end to D end. And, you know, started getting after the quarterback. It felt good, you know, getting sacks, big moments. And, you know, I guess, like, to be real, like, where I thought personally, you know, I always think, like, you know, sometimes, you know, I either have an underinflated, you know, perspective about myself, or maybe an over, you know, inflated, you know, maybe a little glimpse of it was, you know, knowing that I could play with the American JUCO guys, getting a scholarship and kind of making, like, all conference in JUCO. That was kind of where I was like, okay, you know, maybe that NFL is a possibility. But it really didn't start, like, thinking, like, man, like this for sure is a possibility until, like, my senior year in at Boise.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up.
And, yeah, I mean, but, again, you got to understand, like, where I'm from, like, the CFL is, like, you know, the step that, like, you know, obviously you think, like, hey, if I can make the CFL, that's, you know, that's big, and then I could try to go to the NFL. Like, that was always, like in my mind, my route that I was probably going to take is go to the CFL, and then I have to ball in the CFL for them to bring me up.
Right.
But it just happened differently, yeah. So, I mean, God is good. And, yeah, we, you know, I worked extremely hard, you know. Yeah, I did, like, extra work, you know, like, when my thing was, like, I just didn't want, and like, in my mind, I didn't want to think anybody was outworking me, like, around the nation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would do just, like, extra things. I'd go to the stadium at, you know, 12 midnight when all my boys and everybody were sleeping, and I'd hit 12, 15 stadiums just because do push-ups, sit-ups.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I wanted it. I knew that. I knew I wanted it, but it didn't come to reality until that senior year at Boise.
Right. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So I'll say one of the big things for me is I'm a professional barber, and I was blessed to go into the barbershop that I'm in, Hitman House of Style, and we have a lot of great conversations, great camaraderie, and we love obviously talking sports and stuff like that. And every now and then you'll have that person that says, oh, well, you know, these athletes, they don't deserve that much money, and they this, they that. And like, I like to tell them, like, bro, like, for one, if I came to your job and told you, well, hey, you don't deserve $20 an hour. You deserve, man, if it was me, I'd pay you 14. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I feel like you guys as athletes, especially once you make it to that professional league that you're going to, people start to look at you as not even a person anymore. You know, yeah. You're an object, you're a thing, I feel like you should do this, and I feel like you should do that. You know, I feel like his life or her life should be like this and this and this. And like I always try to argue with people, they're human just like us. At the end of the day, you love what you do. We see you guys on TV, commercials, endorsements, but you guys work for that. Everything that you just said, it wasn't like you woke up one day and said, well, I'm ready to go to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Draft me. You know, I want to go to the Cowboys. Like, come on. You know, you worked your whole life for that. And like you said, you thought that your route was going to be going to the Canadian Football League first and then working your way to the NFL, but God had another plan for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so just speak to what was the treatment like once you got, well, for one, let me slow down. with the NFL draft just happening, like, take us through that feeling once you got that call. Because I've been seeing, like, a lot of people's draft videos and stuff like that, and I love watching them. It's cool for me because it's a person realizing their dream, no matter mm-hmm. what it is. And to get that call and that confirmation that I made it, you know, like, this is no longer a dream of mine. This is no longer, like, yeah, the work begins, and, you know, I have to keep working hard. But at this moment, that's that validation. You know, yeah. So speak to me on what that night was like for you and what it felt like.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go into the whole thing there. So, like, first of all, I love the barbershop conversations. My barber's actually a pastor, Pastor Noah, but he's a goat in the barber game as well.
Yeah.
And he does his thing, but our conversations are always insane. I've been trying to tell him to get on camera. Maybe that would be a dope interview if you ever have the time. You know, you and him chopping it up.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that I can connect y'all for sure. But and then going into, you know, kind of how what you were talking about, you know, and that kind of falls in, like, when people, like, don't treat us as humans, or, you know, like, I know what you're saying. And it happens, like, to people outside of your family. Like, my brother will, you know, he don't give a damn what the heck I'm talking about. He'll, you know, slap me upside the head. Yeah. And he's my little brother. Outside of, you know, the family and friends, close friends, you know, yeah, it does kind of get like that, to where people kind of, you know, forget, you know, like, hey, like, try your best to, the golden rule, you know, try your best to, you know, put yourself in that person's shoes. And it's hard, you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's really hard, you know, for somebody that's, you know, seeing somebody get hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're like, I get that side of it. You know, I was on that side of it. There was a time where I was like, you know, looking at NFL players like, damn, man, you know, they didn't do this and this and this. They got all this money, or, you know, mm-hmm. I had my own perception of, you know, what they should be doing. And I was that person in the judgment spot. But, you know, that I mean, that's a real thing. And I think that, you know, obviously the golden rule is, you know, treat others how you would want to be treated. So, like, you're right. You know, you don't go into someone's job talking about, oh, you know, you go into a barber chair like, boy, you should probably be getting, you know, 30 yeah, instead yeah. of 40, you know, that's
yeah, low. Yeah.
You, the taper ain't, like, perfect, you know what I'm saying? But, so I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you having our backs on that, especially in the barber chair. That's huge.
For sure.
But that going into your last question, that call on that day, and just, like, the feeling and realizing that, you know, one of your dreams is coming to reality. And it's like your main dream at that point too, right? Like, that's what you've been working for. That's what you went to college for. Like, the main focus was kind of, you know, that sport. When I say, like, I can't even really explain it, it's more like a feeling that, like, you can't explain. It's, like, so good, like, realizing it. And then, like, to have genuinely happy people around you at that moment is also, like, magical. You know, the feeling is amazing, and it's honestly, like, you know, I know you obviously had things in your life where you worked super hard for it, and then, you know, it comes to fruition, and then it's starting to, like, really, like, buy, it's starting to really go for you, like the barber is right now, you know, it's starting to really go for you, you got your confidence in it. I mean, that's kind of the thing. It was that step, you know, it was a really, really high moment at that time. And then, you know, throughout the night, you're like, damn, like, okay, but now I'm a Cowboy. Yeah. Like, now I got to get out there with the D-Wares and the J-Ratliffs and, you know, try and hold my own, you know what I'm saying? And I got to go up against, you know, like, what eventually was the best O-line, you know, in football, but in my opinion, with Travis and, shoot, when Ron Leary was guard and Zach Martin, Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins, you know,
man.
Shoot, Doug Free was there, like that, like.
We had some dogs up there.
Yeah, like the O-line, that's a daily for us. You know, we have to go up against the best O-line in the league, you know, every single day. I don't know, man. It was a dope feeling. It was a great feeling. Throughout the night, you're like, yeah, like, this feeling's dope. But then that high kind of comes down, and it's like, ah.
Nah, it's been
like,
to work.
Yeah, it's work. This is just kind of the beginning. And hopefully that feeling comes for a lot of people. Because if they're riding that high into rookie mini camp, they're gonna get
yeah.
It's not gonna be nice for them.
Heck yeah, man. So like, for someone like me, you know, just you speaking of that, like, even this interview right here, is a dream come true of mine, you know, because
huge.
For me, I regrettably didn't play sports. But I always loved sports. Growing up, my dad was always a diehard Cowboys fan. So naturally, me watching football, that was the first team I fell in love with. And like I said, it's just continued since this day, you know, and getting into basketball. And I'm trying to get into other sports right now as well. But this right here is a dream come true of mine, to be able to talk to someone who experienced these things, let alone play for my favorite team. You know, I watched you on TV making plays, doing these things on the sideline, you know. And so, for one, like I said, thank you personally.
Well, hey, man. Like, honestly, like, before you go on, like, it speaks to, you know, your passion and your drive. Like, if, you know, like, I know people out there doing podcasts and they're, you know, they think, oh, it'd be cool to, you know, have Dallas Cowboy on, like, my favorite team ever, but they never reach out, you know, they never actually, you know, go and, you know, try and pursue to get that person on. And you did. And I mean, like, again, bro, I'm super happy to do this and happy to, you know, be that guy for you, and hopefully a breakthrough into many other players, you know what I mean? So
thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I think it's dope how you go about it. And, you know, Coach Marinelli, my favorite coach ever. I can't say that my favorite coach ever, but he's one of my favorite coaches.
Sure.
He's up there, you know, in the what do you call it? The Hall of Fame.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore, absolutely. And yeah, so he, you know, when he was telling us about his first job, like, he was just showing up at, I think it was like, I forget what office he was telling us, but the point is, he was showing up at the head coach's office, like, every day, like, hey, like, I want to do this, you know, I want to coach. And eventually the coach was like, all right, man, damn, like, come on. And then he became one of the best D-line coaches in the NFL. So,
yeah, man.
And coordinators in the NFL, right? So, I mean, I think personally. But yeah, like, the Warren Sapps of the world, like, you know, he's the master splinter, you know, of all these crazy guys.
Sure.
But yeah, man, so I don't even know where we were at with that. But yeah, this being a dream, you know, I'm happy, man. I'm happy to be this, you know, this guy for you to start this off, because it's dope.
I appreciate it, man. And like I said, hopefully that leads into, like I said, us being able. You trust me, you're a lifelong friend for the show already.
So we're locked.
And like I said, man, hopefully, like I said, we're able to do more dope stuff together. So just you speaking on that, and just having all these great experiences, what would you say was the highlight of your career? Like, you had, of course, it was probably many of them, but like, if you just had to name one off the kind of like off the top of your head, what would it be?
Honestly, I could say a bunch of different games. I could say a bunch of different things like that. You know, going into war with like dudes that you love and like your brothers that you spend a lot of time with. I mean, that alone is like one of the dopest things, like, you know, a man can do. But I would say like the first thing that popped in my mind when you said that, and it's kind of something, this is why I wish I could have played a little bit longer, was, you know, like my daughter, my oldest daughter actually remembers what coming to watch me play, you know, I have four daughters, but my second daughter, you know, doesn't remember, but she's there and we got video. You know, so that to me was some of the dope, that's the dopest thing that I can say I experienced in football, was to have my little one, you know, come and watch me. And like, you know, that's why like one of my best friends is DeMarcus Lawrence, and all his kids are older and get to watch him like go crazy on the field. Right. And I think it's the dopest thing ever. You know, I'm close with his kids and his sons, and just knowing, like, you know, they're all nonchalant about it now, you know, they're super cool about it, his sons, but being able to like talk to their pops about that later on in life, and just even his daughters, you know, just talk to their pops about that and say like, hey, I actually remember you like going, getting that sack against, you know, whoever,
man.
That's dope to me. So I think that's, that was one of the realest moments for me in football.
That's what's up, man. And like I said, once again, just kind of going back to like the barbershop talks and stuff like that. Just like me and my co-host, that's how all of this started with us. We've been boys since high school, and we always talked sports nonstop. We game, and while we gaming, we talking sports. We already
what do you play?
Sports, so we We talking every single day, you know. And so I told him a couple years ago, well, maybe last year, 1 or 2 years ago, I was like, man, I said, I'm watching these people podcasting and stuff. I said, why can't we do that? You know, yeah. I was like, bro, we talk it every day. I said, yeah, we don't play and stuff like that. I said, and trust me, I said, regardless of our opinions on it, they doing something that I can't do. They got money that I ain't got right now, you know, but they work for it. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of how we feel, it's still a level of respect that we have for you guys, no matter what, yeah, you know, it's just like that. We tell them about basketball. I said, the person on the bench, the person in the G League, they'll come down here and bust our ass. That's just the truth of it. You know what I'm saying? But I say all that to say, like, we just decided to go ahead and, you know, we talked about it. And then next thing you know, we just started buying equipment and we just said, hey, we're going to try it. And so, my boy that owns the shop that I cut in, man, real good dude. I went in there on Sunday, cut my boy hair, and we were just sitting there talking about it. And I had brought the camera and we was just like, man, you want to shoot something? And it was the day before or after Super Bowl Sunday this year, you know, and we were just like, man, let's do it now, you know, like we ain't necessarily got nothing prepared, you know, but we'll get better at it. We'll figure it out. But you got to start somewhere, you know, so like I said, yeah, that's kind of like just a little bit into our story and how this started and stuff like that.
I love that.
Appreciate it, man.
I love that. Cause like you guys, like literally, like you're, that's the reason why, like, man, if I'm doing something, like you said, you like gaming. I like gaming too. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it anyways. Might as well just get on camera. You know, and do it. Like, you guys love talking. It's like a passion of yours anyways. I mean, the fact that you guys, you know, bought equipment and, you know, made that step, I think that's dope, man. I applaud you. I salute you for sure.
Appreciate you, man. Like I tell people, you know, it's like you hear all these sayings growing up, like one of them being, you know, the first step, the starting step, you just got to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's easy to say it, it's easy to bring it up in conversation or tell someone else on their journey, you know, but doing it yourself is a different thing, you know. It's stepping out on faith, you know, because I mean, at the same time, while we love it, we want to be successful at it as well, you know what I'm saying? One of the big things that I want to do with these platforms, because we are also starting an interview platform as well, and what we want to accomplish is not only being able to give leads or anybody in any occupation somewhere to come, and the focus is on you. Like, I want to know about you, your life, your career. What do you want to talk about? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a therapist, but it's like at the same time, it's just, like I said, whatever you want to call it, it's just a platform where you can sit down and you can talk and be heard by someone that's not a part of your daily routine. It's not a part of your daily life and stuff like that. Not be judged or not be this or, you know, no expectations. Just, hey, once again, kind of like that barbershop talk. It's just, man, we just talking, bro. Like, you know, whatever that conversation leads, that's where we going, you know, while we got that time. And
But like, that, you know, the one difference, I guess, between the barbershop, it's like the locker room talk. You know what I'm saying? You can't stick the camera in the locker room the whole time. There's a lot of good conversations. But, you know, you can't have the camera in there the whole time. Same with the barber. Same with the seat. You know, like when you in there. Sometimes some real man stuff comes up and you just get to chopping it up. Shoot, might cry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, man.
I think that's dope, man. I applaud you again. Yeah, it's
appreciate
awesome.
It, man.
What do you game? What do you play?
So we on Xbox, we usually play Warzone. We big into Madden. We used to play 2K, but we kind of fell off. And we'll try anything for sure, you know. But
I played those two games. That's the only two games I play is Warzone and Madden. That's it. But I'm on the PlayStation though.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think Madden is I think Madden is cross platform now.
I think they got it cross play now. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
We know Warzone is, so we could jump on there.
Heck yeah, for sure, man, for sure. Like I said, and but it's like I look at it and it's like that's another thing too where I applaud people in your position that worked hard to get where you at, is that I'm something that I'm learning even now. I'm about to turn 28, and something that I'm still learning is that it's easy to work for someone else. It's way harder to work for yourself, you know, and that's with anything that you got going on, any dream that you have, anything that you're working toward. It's easy to, no matter what setting it's in, whether you're going and clocking in at a job or whatever the case may be, someone else's company or whatever, it's easy to hit that clock and, you know, just work for someone else and do what you're told, versus this is your dream, this is your passion. It's all on you. It's the direction is all on you. Where do you want to take it to? How much are you willing to put into it? You know, those days that you're tired. In barber school, the owner of the school, Sean Bossman Boston, he always told us, he said, the days that you don't want to come in here, please show up on those days, because that's the days where you'll get the most out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Discipline. Discipline. Yeah, there's a lot of words. Like, there's certain words that, you know, like, I just keep around and they hang around my, you know, head as I walk through the day. But like discipline, consistency, you know, things like that, in pursuit of, you know, anything we're trying to get, you know, is huge, you know. And that's like the one thing with athletes, I think. Sorry for cutting you off, but
no, you're good.
Yeah, that's the one thing with athletes, I think, like post career, it's like, you know, to have that same discipline you had, have that same, you know, drive, hunger that you had for something else that you had with football, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of you know, I went, this is my third year retired. I went through the phase, and then I found a hungry phase, and I fell off of that for a little bit, and now I'm kind of back in my hungry phase, and I've been here for a while, so I'm trying to stay consistent. Yeah. And I'm trying to just, you know, lock in and pursue some things, you know, outside of football, for sure.
And that was my next question. So with you saying that, tell us about some of the things like post-football that you've gotten into.
Yeah, man. As athletes, we were young and we're making a decent amount of money. But you know, like an athlete gets their second contract, you make money that's like life-changing, you know, life-changing for your family.
Right.
And I was fortunate enough to have some good mentors, some good people around me to kind of like help with my decisions and where that money goes and how that money's placed, you know, how the portfolio is laid out. And, you know, how to kind of protect it, you know, through like inflation times and,
yeah,
you know, try and make this money like generational and not just, you know, for me and my wife and my girls to spend. It's kind of, we want it to be for their girls and their sons or, you know, whatever, you know, just kind of make this money last. You know, learning that has been an extreme big focus of mine, in just trying to, you know, figure out. It's so nerve wracking and scary because, you know, once you make it, you don't want to lose it. And it's so easy. It's like, it's easy to lose it. It's not easy to make it. Right. So,
right.
You know, I've been focusing on just trying to, you know, just be involved in as many deal talks as I can be. You know, if someone says, hey, I have a deal I want you to look at, you know, I don't care what it is. I look at it. I kind of go over it with my mentors and I just kind of, you know, get their take on it, maybe invest if it all turns out well. But, you know, that was like my main focus, is just trying to manage this portfolio and learn.
Oh.
My bad, bro. I was getting a call.
No, you good, bro. You good.
But, the main focus was, try not to lose it. And do my best to make money and outgrow this inflation thing. You know, but then, you know, we kind of got our portfolio in a place, you know, you can't really do much. You can't control the market, you know, so we kind of got it in that kind of place. So now I just want to kind of follow something, you know, I'm passionate about. Problem is I got so many things I'm passionate about that I really like. So like, I'm kind of in like, you know, fighting myself to narrow it down right now. I'm involved in some real estate. You know, I'm involved in some private equity stuff that I do, but like the passion and stuff, where I find like that energy, where I find is kind of giving back. And my way of giving back is not like, you know, I'm not out like handing out. My giving back is kind of, you know, to the kids that I want to have the same hunger that, like, you know, we're finding again right now, like you're finding in this, you know, in this podcast and creative channels thing, you know, is to find that energy, but to find it for football or like any athlete, you know, any athletic, you know, pursuit that they're going at. So really, like, I love to, you know, help kids that can't really, you know, like afford gym memberships. My dream is to be able to afford them gym memberships, because that was something that when I was coming up, my mom was like, hey, like, you ain't going to get a gym membership this summer. And I'm like, damn, like that's what I really wanted, like over anything. So, you know, if I can, my plan is to be able to coach kids, you know, through like, if they're at home and they can't afford a membership and I can't get them one, be able to coach those kids, be able to have them to have things to do extra on top of their school workouts, you know, to pursue their dream in athletics. And then once I figure it out, I'm going to be able to get, you know, kids gym memberships and just continue to just do that and supplements and just things to help them grow and kind of, you know, advance. If they're one of those athletes like I was that wanted to outwork everybody, like you can't sleep at night because you're thinking somebody else is doing a workout. Like if you're that athlete and I find you, I want to help you. You know, I want to help you, you know, get everything you need to, you know, get that edge that you want, that you fiend. Like I always fiend an edge. So that's my passion, man. I want to find those kids and just help them as much as I can. And I kind of call it, what I got going right now, it's the work brand. And I put an extra K on work just because always when I was thinking coming up, I was always thinking like, you can't just work like everyone else is working. You work like extra hard. So there's an extra K. You got to put in some extra work on top. You got to like outwork the rest. So I'm passionate about that. I'm going to pursue that and I'm going to make that a thing. I'm going to make that a big thing for, it's going to be a movement, man. So I'm happy I met you as well. You know, we can definitely bounce some ideas off each other and,
for sure.
I'll pop on the channel again when that thing's really booming.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it for sure.
Awesome.
And just speaking to what you were just talking about with your work brand, that's one of my sayings as well. I always tell people that, you know, no matter what room I'm in, what situation I'm in, it may be people that knows more about what's going on or this and that, but one thing that I can always control is that you'll never outwork me. You know, I've always kept that mindset ever since I got my first job, you know, that, you know, I'm coming in and all these people are already here, you know, and it was just a fast food place. But, perfect. You know, it's just that I took it as, you know, hey, you know, these people walking around and they're used to doing this now. They, you know, they know what to do. You got this new guy coming on asking questions and this and that. Blah, blah, blah. Don't know what to do. Don't know his head from his ass, you know, for lack of a better term. And it's like, you know, you got some people that help you, some people that don't care. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
But I just always kept my mind. I said, okay. I'm going to pay attention as much as I can. I'm going to just watch people as much as I can. And no matter what, you won't outwork me. Because guess what? Eventually, I am going to get that knowledge. And then what do? Mm-hmm. You know, because I always was a naturally competitive person. And, you know, in certain areas, I toned that down because I feel like I had to fit in that box at that time or whatever. But I've always been naturally competitive. And that no matter what it is I'm doing, I always want to win. I want to be at the top. You know, I used to tell people when I was at that job all the time, like, you know, not bragging about it, but when the conversation would come up and I'm watching these other people, you know, slack, this and that, whatever, you know, when it comes to affecting my job and stuff, I would, you know, like I always felt like I'll say it like this. When I went to ask for my first raise, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I told them straight up, I was just like, I'm the best you got.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not me.
That's a good position to be in.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I would never hate on nobody. I want everybody to get their money, do their thing, you know, be where they want to be and do what they want to do. But for me right now, I'm telling you, like, you know, I want this because I'm the best. And you can't tell me no because I'm the best you got.
And you know. I'm the best you got. Honestly, that's the shit I'm passionate about. Like, you got me hyped, you know, with that whole thing right there. So, like, I mean, and I'm telling you, I get it from my mom. My mom is the same way. Yeah. My brother's the same way. And like, that's what I'm looking for. You know, you would have been a killer athlete. Like, I'm sad. I'm damn regretful that you didn't play sports. Cause shoot, man, you would have been a killer athlete. Damn. But yeah, you got me hyped, bro. That's what, you know, that's like, if the hard part is, you know, for people like us is realizing that just everybody ain't like that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, how are you not like that? Like, how do you not want to be like that? Right. And it's like, that's the hard part for me. And like, that's where, you know, I don't know how I'm going to navigate this work world because, you know, I want to look for the athlete that thinks like that, but man, I don't know. Like, as I'm doing it, I'm having a hard time, you know, it's sad, but I'm having a hard time finding those type of athletes right now, you know? But you know, obviously, as I grow and as I put more out, it's just kind of we're kind of gonna gravitate, you know, together kind of thing. And I'm gonna understand, like, okay, like if you want it, it's there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I'm gonna put it out. Like if you want it, it's there. If you don't want it, forget it. You know, like you just ain't gonna be one of them ones. You know, like it's just, it is what it is. Like because this is just like one of the tools. You know, like if you're not seeking tools as a young athlete, if you're not seeking tools, then yeah, you're just not the person, you know, like the work brand is, you know, wanting to be there for, you know, even like just not part of the family, you know what I mean? So,
for sure.
But yeah, like like I know there's going to be a bunch of athletes. I know there's, I mean, when we get a further outreach, I know they're out there, you know, and I know there's probably plenty. It's just right now, I don't know, man. There's,
I guess in like this little circle. Sorry.
No. I was just saying, I guess just in this little circle that I've kind of started in, but once, you know, I know now I need to, you know, expand and kind of get a broader outreach to, you know, just, yeah, to get the athletes that are hungry.
For sure. That's like, I have a younger cousin named Dannon, and I believe he's going to be a senior next year, and he's a wrestler, and he's going to state championships and, you know, things like that, and he's doing his thing. And you know, he was coming up, he was always the really, really quiet kid. He has 2-3 siblings, and he was just always quiet. And then he got in high school, he was always a stocky, you know, not too built, not too, you know, he never really played sports. And he got to school and he said, well, hey mom, you know, hey dad, I want to try wrestling. And they let him wrestle, and now he's, you know, he's yoked up, and but he loves it, you know. It's like,
yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah, and it's like, I got him a job working with me. He was like, man, you know, I'm not going to be here too long because, you know, wrestling workouts and stuff like that, like, that's what he's passionate about. And at that age, you know, I'm not around him a lot, but, like I would love to make sure that he knows, like, bro, cultivate that. That could take you, you don't know where that could take you, but keep that passion for that, and then also pay attention to other things that you may become passionate about as well, and always carry that with you, you know, because like I said, once again, just going back to like me and my experiences or whatever, it's like being around certain people or in certain areas, if you don't watch it, they can quell that in you. They can bring it down, and before you know it, it's just, you know, complacency sets in and being all right with being mediocre or whatever the case may be. And then next thing you know, you're knocked off your path and you have no direction.
Absolutely.
You know, now you've wasted X amount of time or whatever. And it's like you look around. You just don't know what's going on. You don't know how to reset yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so that's something I would just want to make sure. That's something that we're going to start on the podcast next year too, when a school sports startup is doing athletes of the week and stuff. But just to remind him and anybody out there, like you said, that needs someone like you, you know, that to pay attention, you know, to just give them a chance, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No matter what the reason is that they're in that situation, they just need someone like you and your brand to come around and say, hey, I got you, you know, let's do these things. Let's do this.
Yeah. You know? And it's up to you.
So I think that's dope, man. I think that's super dope, you know.
Like, well, I appreciate it.
For sure, man. And then I know another venture that you got going on is your golfing company. So you guys do golfing simulators for homes and businesses and stuff like that?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So me and my brother and our business partner, we started a company called 19th Hole Golf Simulators. And we started it basically because, you know, like we started to notice like a lot of the simulators going into homes, they just didn't do like a great job. Like the room wasn't like custom and built to how, you know, either the athlete, the player, or like, you know, whoever is having these simulators put in their homes, they're not like, you know, exclusive built, you know, they're not in there and, you know, looking like I would want it to look in the home, you know, so, or a company or, you know, like anything. So we got a team together and they just are the best at what they do as far as, you know, if we needed drywall, if we needed cushion padded, perfect turf, you know, they just put pristine golf simulators in. It's almost like, you know, a golf simulator that's part of your house, but it's like a, you know, an art piece or, you know, a furniture piece like that, that's involved in your house. And, you know, it's comfortable and So yeah, we just did like custom simulators. We're not just the, you know, put the metal bars up and nets around it. You know, we'll make a simulator room, you know, like your dream simulator room. And that's kind of how, like, you know, I like it. And I know our customers are been extremely happy. So, yeah, we do simulators, all sorts of simulators. We mainly stick to, like, two simulators. But, yeah, we'll do any simulator, anything wants, that anything you could dream of in a simulator room, we'll get it done. Yeah, man, so we're in that world tough, and I'm enjoying it.
What's up, man? That's what's up. It seems like a lot of athletes love turning to like the game of golf as a way of leisure, a way of just relaxing, and just a lot of them end up enjoying it. Was it a passion of yours? Was it a passion of yours, and that's what led to it being one of the things that you pursued?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I it wasn't a passion of mine until about like 3 years ago. You know, went out and, you know, started hitting, I've swung the club before, you know, I've been on a golf course before, but never had like, you know, full experiences of a golf day and going out there and golfing and hitting a couple nice shots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once that started happening for me, you know, I hit a shot from 100 yards out and it landed on the green close to the hole. And it was over with. I tell you, like, I mean, and you're out there in nature with your boys and or your wife, you know, and it's just like at that point it's magic, and you know, you make a good shot, yeah, you're hooked, line, sinker, buddy, it's done. So yeah, once that passion hit, you know, I love the game, and it's such a challenging game, it's such a hard game. Like right now, because we have this baby, I haven't been golfing, and I'm, you know, I'm poop, but you know, I still love it. I want to get better. And so like to be able to do that indoors, and like, you know, say you're in your boxes and you just want to go and hit, you know, 9 holes. Yeah. That's unbelievable to me. So I had to be involved in that in some way. And, I only wanted to be involved in it in a way that, you know, the way I would want it in my house. So you know, that's what we did. We just do completely custom, you know, it's high dollar now, but when you get it in there, it's the best thing you're going to have in your house, you know, because I built 2 houses now and I know, you know, everything costs, but, you'll spend this money on a simulator and you will not regret it. A lot of the other things, yeah, like, damn, babe, did we have to get this? Like, could have put a simulator there too.
Yeah. It's like having like a basketball court in the backyard or something like that. It's like, but it's golfing, and it's like,
but it's like having a basketball court indoors. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you can go there anytime. Like if it's raining, oh, you're good. You're blessed. You go over there and, yeah. You know, I don't know why. I don't know if someone added in to this thing, but your video is super small now. I don't know.
For real?
It says M on the screen for me. I don't know if it says that for you. As long as it's good on your end.
Yeah, yeah, it's good over here. Is it any bigger now?
No. I mean, it's all good. It's all good on my end. It just says M, so I think somebody might have joined. Clapping and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it was, I know for one, I had hit some of my media sounds by accident, so they started clapping. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, but nah, man, that's dope, bro. Like I said, that's why I try to tell people, the everyday person, anybody, I'll say it like that, no matter what you're doing, whether you're an athlete, no matter what you're doing in life, if you don't watch it, like I said, whether it's complacency or whatever, it gets into a rhythm where you just go to work every day, you come home, you do the things that you're supposed to do and need to do, and you don't really, do things that you want to do things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to be able to pair that with a venture that could also be, you know what I'm saying, lucrative and business wise and business minded and stuff like that, to me, that's really, really cool. And like I said, the same reason we sitting here today, that's one of the things for us, you know, and, man, that's cool. So, piggybacking off of that and, carrying the conversation forward, we've talked about your career and your business ventures and stuff like that, but like I said, people know you as Tyrone Crawford, the athlete, the, like he's done this, he's did that, but I'm talking to you and kind of seeing how you're responding. I'm pretty sure that you would probably say the biggest accomplishment in your life is being a husband and father. You know what I'm saying? And I'll just speak to that a little bit and how it changed your life and the adjustment of becoming a father and a husband, you know?
Biggest accomplishment for sure. I mean, and just biggest joy is being a father. Obviously me and my wife, we wanted two kids. And we ended up with four beautiful baby girls.
Girl dad.
Girl dad for sure. And it's amazing, man. That's it for us though. But yeah, we got four baby girls, 5, 4, 1, and 4 months. And
Congratulations, man.
yeah, thank you, brother. And yeah, man, it's been amazing. Just being able to be a father and know the responsibility of safety, protection, coaching them, their what they learn, everything, man, everything that comes with being a father, guiding them in their faith, up until they, guide themselves in it. It's a challenge, but that's a challenge I was always, willing to take and always excited to take, and yeah, we have a good time. We have a very good time together as a family. We had a lot of smiles, and yeah, we can't complain. As a father, I mean, I just try my best every day to be the best I can be for them. You know what I mean? And it's harder than I've ever worked for, for anything. So like football, I'd say like the work ethic I put in trying to, be the best dad I can for Mia, my oldest, is like the work that I did in football is minimal. I wish I would have put in the work, yeah, man, like that's my number one thing. There's nothing I want to work for more than them girls. So, but yeah, that comes with it, with everything I'm doing, even finding the passion. I can't be the dad that's, when their teacher asks, "Hey, what does your dad do?" "Oh, he does nothing. He sits at home and plays video games." Like, "Nah, you gonna know that I'm going to meetings and going to work." So yeah, I don't know, man. It's fun. It's ups and downs. It's highs and lows. It's dope time, man. There's nothing like it. And they keep you on your toes too. And they got me wrapped around their finger, so I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker, bro. I can't leave the house with them in the car without getting them something. So yeah, man, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. But madness at our house too. Madness. But yeah, it's fun. So
That's dope, man.
I appreciate you bringing me into my fatherhood mindset.
Yeah,
As
that's
soon as
what's
I
up,
step out this
man.
room, it's real, let me tell you.
Yeah, because I'm not one yet, but I do have one, two. I got three goddaughters,
Oh,
niece
beautiful.
and a nephew, and like I said, just being two of my goddaughters are twins, and those are the first babies that I was actually there, the first day that they were born and stuff like that. And my boy, we've been boys since the sandbox, kindergarten. And he married a lovely woman, like I said, and like I said, they have twins and stuff like that. And
It's dope.
my co-host, I'm the godfather to his daughter and stuff. And like I said, man, just having girls, it's like, bro, it's like I can only imagine when I have one, because I know how much I love them. I know how much I love being around them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's like, man, it's a wonderful thing, And like I said, it kind of just takes me back to earlier in the conversation. They're just talking about people can forget because they see you on TV or something like that, that you have the same responsibilities, the same, some of the same problems, some of the same things to do in your life that they do. You're just making different ways, doing a different thing. Just like anybody else, if they really think about it, But at the end of the day, no matter when I get off that TV, I'm going home to my family. I'm
Absolutely.
going home to my wife. I'm going home to my daughters. And so, like I said, that's another thing I want to make sure I accomplish in these interviews and when talking to people is to make sure that we cover everything, not just your occupation and what you do or what people know about you, but things like that that Yeah, you see me do this, and like you said, like you're a very competitive person. You strive to be the best every day, but that's what means the most to me. You
Yeah,
know, once
absolutely.
again, I'm human just like you. Like so
Absolutely.
I just have a different type of work. I have a reason why you know me or whatever like that. And but like I said, I go home and I'm a person too, you
Yeah.
know.
Well, hey, man, at the end of the day, that's a huge shout out to you going back to you being the godfather, the three babies, man. Like
Appreciate
that
it,
lets me know. I don't even know you like that. And that lets me know the kind of
man.
man you are. If a
Appreciate it, man.
person thinks you
Appreciate
should be
it.
the godfather, I mean, that means you're a good man. So, shout out to you. And
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
yeah, man, it's good, it's good. It's good that what you're doing because, in a lot of cases, a lot of players go through issues where, even if it's, if it's a random, stranger or if it's someone, close to them, like they just kind of don't get it. Their perception of, your whole life is different because they don't have like an insight to it. They're not, at that close level where, it's going to be a deep enough conversation, like things you're bringing up right now, like sometimes they're not even worried about your kids. They're just still thinking about, the money you made. And, that's a challenge. That's a challenge with a lot of athletes. I mean, there's men discussion, with 90% of the locker room sometimes with about things like this, And, we all kind of come together just to share our own experiences with it. And it helps. It helps with a bunch of players. I mean, there's testaments, all throughout the league. But yeah, man, you get to a point when you have these kids that, some of those people's perceptions, I can give two shits about, now.
Yeah,
Like
for sure, for
there's
sure.
four little girls that I'm really worried about,
Heck
like I'm not worried about y'all no more. Like, not at all. But
yeah,
yeah, I
for
do
sure.
appreciate you bringing it up though, because there's a lot of young players that are gonna go through those, like they're gonna like it's inevitable. They're gonna go through those struggles. They're gonna go through the like worrying about how people think about them because of the decisions they're making throughout their career. But it's hard, man. The greater you want to be there, the more no's you gotta say, and
Yeah.
it's tough. It's really tough to do, especially when you're young in the league. But there's gonna be like, hey, I can't go to that party. Like, I gotta work. I'm sorry, I can't make it this weekend. Like, football, the NFL thing is, it's tough. And like, I applaud guys with kids and they're still doing it. Like Law, the fact that, he's like managing this life out, like being a father and doing it well, by the way, but managing the life of being a father and then, having to carry the backpack of the NFL on his back too, I mean, it's not an easy job. Like I'm telling you that like these players are worth every penny. You know what I mean?
For
So
sure, yeah, man.
yeah, it's even just like having to deal with like the pressures, like the pressures of, I mean, you're a D lineman, and there's at least one D lineman a week working out outside, and you're walking around the facility, and you're like, oh man, like there they go trying to replace somebody on the D line. They're trying to replace you at any moment. Like it's not like you got your job and it's secure. Like, nah,
It's a
like go
business.
ahead and slip up, go ahead and slip up. You'll be gone. But yeah.
Heck yeah, man. So just speaking of that, it's something I meant to ask earlier and I forgot. Like the conversation going good. We had a conversation on another show where we were talking about we were talking about the WNBA and the Caitlin Clarks and Angel Reese's and everybody going to the league and stuff like that. And we were just talking about like athletes in college, and what you major in, because you're especially depending on you going D1 or whatever you feel like your trajectory in life is going, to get as far as getting toward the league, is like some of them, I imagine, I'll say like that, they focus on getting to the league and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask, like, going into college, what was your what did you want to major in? Did you have an idea in your head, maybe like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, I'm gonna major in this and just have it as a backup plan or something like that?
At first, I did. So I went in, coming out of JUCO, I got my AA degree or whatever. And so like most of my classes transferred over and I wanted to go into criminology because, I was like, man, like SWAT and all the being like a police officer and then eventually being a member of like the SWAT team, like I was like kind of a team guy, you know. So like I wanted to be like a part of like a badass SWAT team, you know, carrying whatever gun you want. And I thought that was always dope. The SWAT guys in my city were sick. You know, I knew a father of one guy that I played basketball with. And so I went into criminology my first year at Boise, but I was struggling, man. I was struggling. And like a lot of my teammates were kind of on that mindset where it was like, hey, I'm going to the league. Like I'm taking, you know, whatever I can get through school with, you know what I mean? So I did criminology for a year, and my second year, my last year at Boise, I was like, man, I'm gonna be 17 credits short when I at the end of this year, you know. So I was like, let me just get a degree. So I went and got a communications degree, which is what every athlete goes into. Just so I knew I was gonna get a degree. You know, again, like I didn't see. I also ended up getting to talk to the SWAT officer that, you know, that I grew up, you know, watching. You know, watching when he would come to the gym, he's all yoked up, and yeah. I actually got my teammate's dad. I got to talk to him, and he was like, "Dude, I don't even have a degree." He's like, "It doesn't matter about like your degree. Most people barely use their degrees." And so at that moment, I was like, boom, I'm going to get this communications degree, and I'm just going to, you know, try my best to continue to play football as long as I can. And then once I'm not, I'm going to back to my city, and I'm going to start knocking down doors.
I was like, yeah, that was up.
But yeah, I mean, that didn't work out, thankfully. I really don't want to be doing that.
And, yeah, so it's like, because that's something me and my co-host were debating, is that, you know, I think his example was like, you know, like a Steph Curry or somebody, you know. I think we're talking about, I think recently Steph Curry went back and got his degree, just like a lot of athletes do and stuff like that. And like I was telling them, you know, I was like, it just makes us wonder, like, you know, the average athlete, like, what other interests do you have outside of your sport? Do you factor that in when you go into college and stuff like that? And even when you make it to those leagues, is it still a priority for you to get your degree and stuff? Because like we talk about, it's, once again, it's still a job. You know, I don't care how much you love, I don't care where we see these people at, it's a job, just like we have a job.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like with their job, they're putting their bodies on the line. And so it's not guaranteed to work out for them.
Right,
pray yeah. every day that injuries don't happen, that this and that doesn't happen, that you strive to be the best so that you can, like you said, keep that job. You don't slip up and they replace you or something.
Yeah.
And so it's like you go from 1 minute, maybe you're riding high or whatever, and it's like now you're looking for a job. Just like we do. And it's like, so we always just wonder, like, you know, with degrees and stuff like that, is it something for the average athlete to just say, okay, well, I'm gonna have this in my back pocket just in case.
Yeah. I would hope, you know, at a young age, you know, that would be the mindset. Like, especially I kind of battle with that one because, like, you know, I'm not like a firm believer in like how the universities, you know, like, I don't think like, unless you're going to be like a doctor or a lawyer, I don't think like universities are really like helping people, like making degrees like seem so important. But, you know, I do think that is a mindset for all of us, you know, like especially like not knowing as much, you know, as we're coming up at that age. I think, yeah, having it for our back pocket is something that we do. But like when you said Steph Curry went back to get his degree, I mean, unless that's to be like a doctor or a lawyer, and if I'm Steph, I'm not going back to kidding. but you know, I don't, you know, for people that do it like that, I don't know. You know, I would have to talk to him and see. If the day that it comes to where if I'm in front of him, I'm gonna ask him that question. Like, what was
the
day that you did this? Yeah, I think like at a young age, I think you definitely at least got to think like, hey, like I need a plan B, you know, because like,
right.
I mean, not for long is the you know, what they say about the NFL, and you hear that early, you know, like you hear that.
Right.
I heard that in college. So it's got to be on your mind, you know, like you can't be that like, I mean, you could be self-confident to a point where, hey, like I'm going to make it, but like, anything can happen. God works in mysterious ways. Like you said, an injury can happen that can just tear up the tear up the trajectory of your career, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you're not ready and you're not ready to put in that kind of work. Like, the rehab work is different. When I tore my Achilles, like, if I didn't, if you don't grind through that, like, and put in extra work in that type of process as well, it's not going to be good for your career. It's going to be a downfalling moment for sure. Right.
And so with you saying that, just going back to your career for a second, like I said, 9 years in the league. I know you said earlier you would have loved to have played longer. Once again, talking to those people that, like you said, we don't care about your opinions and stuff, but at the same time, just try to get them to people to understand that these are humans. It's like, if injuries factor into you retiring, maybe not necessarily early, but when you did.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, man. Like, you know, I had this hip issue that always made me question retirement because, like, I couldn't get past it. You know, still to this day, it's lingering a little bit. But
double hip surgery, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I got double hip surgery, and you know, it relieved it a little bit. I played one more year after that, but that wasn't the reason why I retired. You know, it wasn't the firm reason why I retired. It was a huge reason. And, you know, I knew that that was going to be something, but, my last year I ended up getting, an ankle surgery and, you know, it's a routine ankle surgery, got some spurs taken out of my ankle. It was just a scope. And, because I didn't do some of the things like early on, like immediately right after you get the surgery, some of like the movement things in my leg, I ended up getting a blood clot in my calf that eventually moved up to my lungs, and it's called a pulmonary embolism. I had two of those, and luckily it got to the hospital in time where, you know, it wasn't fatal. I didn't die from it. But a lot of those, you know, pulmonary embolisms kill people. I got to the hospital and, you know, they gave me a shot, a blood thinner that, you know, ran through my body. And if I survived the night, then I survived. And so I survived the night, obviously. And then I had to be on blood thinners for like 6 months after that. Before that surgery, I was praying about it. You know, I was trying to figure out like, hey, like, you know, I've thought about retirement because of these hips, but, you know, like, I still did play last season. And I feel like I can try my best to get them better. You know, like, what's the move here, God? Like, what do I do? Like, how do I go about this? And, you know, prayed about it for a long time. I was on the fence about retirement. But then when that blood clot thing happened, you know, it was like an answer. You know, it was an answer for me because, one, you can't play football on blood thinners. And it was the amount of time that I had to take blood thinners was going to run into the next season. So, like, you can't risk a head, like, you can't. We hit our heads, you know, together probably 100 times a week, you know, so yeah. Like you're getting a major car wreck, at least every week there's a major car wreck happening to your body. You know, you can't do that on blood thinners. So that was going to happen for the first half of the season. I was going to be a free agent, and it was just a perfect answer for me. I found a lot of peace in it. You know, obviously was super thankful that, you know, it didn't go further than what it did. But yeah, I found a lot of peace in it, man. Yeah, so that was my answer. For me, there was nothing else. And plus, like I said, dog, I got daughters. Like, I don't mean, you know what I mean? Like, at that point, we had my second daughter. You know, it's lovely to be at home. You know, I wasn't in any bad place at home. My wife is amazing and treats me, you know, great. Like we have a very, very, like, fortunately to have like a very good household. I'm, you know, I'm fortunate, very blessed in that aspect. So, dog, it was simple for me. It was like 9 years, you did your thing. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I didn't hit some of my like ultimate goals, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, all that stuff, but I felt like I did my thing. I pat myself on the back, told God, thank you. And I was like, I'm out of here. Like, that's it. You know, it was perfect.
Heck yeah, bro. Heck yeah. One instance that I did want to ask about, I know we've been here for a minute, we're getting ready to get out of here.
I'm good.
Dez caught it, right?
Hell yeah, Dez caught it, man. Don't even bring that up, man.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, don't even bring that up, man.
Like, what's that feeling like on the sideline when it happens?
That was a sickening feeling because, because everybody was real like energetic about that year. Like that year's energy was better than, I mean, granted for me, obviously I'm kind of biased in that sense because like I had, that was the year like that got, you know, that got me my second contract. Like I had a really good year in 14.
Yeah.
So like I'm kind of biased in that aspect, but like even when you have like conversations with my teammates, like if I have conversations with teammates, they're just like, yeah, dog, like the energy was different. Like the aura, like everything, like Marinelli, you know, having us running and hitting and just like everything was just different. It was kind of, it all came together. Defense was rolling. The team felt really good. Roma was rolling. Dez was jumping and catching shit over everybody. And it was just heartbreaking because that's the type of shit that Dez does. And like he, you know what I mean? Like he could have easily went down. Like he could have saved that ball. And it could have been a whole different game, but you know, like that ruined it, and it was like, I don't know, it was heartbreaking for sure because we were, that could have been the year that everybody's been waiting for with the Cowboys, the whole nation.
Yeah, but like when I look back, I always feel like that was the year, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I watched that replay and I know they changed the rule and stuff like that. It's crazy to me, but even with the rule change or whatever, I still look at it and I'm like, bro, at most you can call it a fumble and he recovered it, you know what I mean? But he still caught it, you know, he made a move with the ball, and you know, it's just so that being from a fan perspective, it was heartbreaking for us or whatever. Of course, not being on the field is totally different for you guys for sure.
And I mean, shoot, I don't know, dog. I think like every time I talk to, you know, like a true fan of the Cowboys, I feel like they got the same feeling as me. Like we be going through it together. Like, damn, dog. What a time.
I still watch that replay to this day and I'm like, bro, like you changed the rule, whatever, but how is that not?
Yeah.
Like I say, once again, at most, say he fumbled it and recovered it, and it's a touchdown or down to one. But either way, that's a catch. If by your rule definition, he made a move, he failed.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you know, whatever, bro. But I think that will forever live on for me as a fan. Like, bro, I understand, you know, you have people that say, oh, Cowboy fans are delusional and this and that, da, 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 da. But I feel like that year for sure, if any year, like that was the year that it was supposed to happen, you know? And it's like, bro, it's just,
but just remember, all that Cowboys fans is delusional thing is there's more haters than there are fans. Like, whatever team they follow, we got more haters than their fans. So,
yeah,
it's a sad deal, but it is what it is, man. A lot of people just don't like the best thing that's around, you know?
Right, yeah.
Gotta hate on something, I guess.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, man. Like I said, bro, I appreciate you coming on, man, for sure.
Absolutely,
for sure,
man. My pleasure.
Appreciate you, man. Tyrone Crawford, once again, like I said, 9-year NFL vet, company owner, like I said. And once again, probably the most important, father and husband. And like I said, man, soon enough, like I said, we'll be working. And like I said, man, if you ever have anything, like I said, we can help with or whatever, you want to hit us up, man, feel free. Available, whatever, man. And like I said, hopefully we'll have you back on in the near future, man.
Oh, we'll definitely do this again. I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. For sure. And like I said, if you can get me on with your is it your brother?
My barber.
I'd love that too, man.
He would be a great conversation for sure. I'll link you guys up for sure.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you, bro.
All right, brother. You take it easy, huh?
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, you as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.